Man, come on. Thank you so much, Ben. Thank you, Kendrick and Latricia, for leading us so strong. They do such an amazing job every single week, do they not? Like, they lead us so strong every single week. In Living Room, it's so good to be back. Can I just say it? I feel like I need to get this off my chest. And even if I, that's kind of rhetorical, like even if I said, can I just say this? And you're like, no, I have the mic, so I'm going to say it anyways. But anyway, I love Monday nights. Like, I don't know if this is your first time here, if this is your 50th time here, but I love Monday nights. I mean, we come and we eat Marco's Pizza. Hello, any Marco's Pizza fans in the house? Anybody? Okay, we're thinking, well, I'll tell you what we have next week. It's coming soon. I'll tell you that in a few minutes. But anyways, I love Monday nights. I love what God is doing in this community. In fact, I love what God is doing in college campuses all across our city. Like, I think he's doing some amazing things in college students here in the Atlanta area. And you guys are such a massive part of that. So thank you. Thank you for being here tonight. Keep going. And man, this is just a special thing to be a part of. Don't take this for granted. And hey, I don't know if you know this or not, but this is a really big week in Atlanta. The Super Bowl is on Sunday. So yes, I am pumped about that. I just moved to Atlanta 3 months ago. If we've never met, my name's Matt. I'm one of the pastors here at Buckhead Church at the Living Room. And I just moved to Atlanta and I'm like, hey, I'm going to be a Falcons fan. A few weeks later, they're going to the Super Bowl. And now I'm a diehard. Like, I love it. And I'm just going to say this and call me crazy. Say this is bold, but I believe this is going to happen. So you can write this down. You can tweet this. The Falcons are going to beat the Patriots 45-10. Okay. 45-10, it's going to be dominant fashion. I know they got Tom Brady. They're going to score more than 10. No, they're not. Our defense is underrated, all right? We can talk about this later. We need to move on. We got bigger things to talk about tonight. But they're going to win 45-10. It's going to be amazing. And next Monday night is going to be a celebration for the ages. Speaking of next Monday night, I feel like I can't move forward tonight without telling you what's coming next Monday night, besides for our Super Bowl celebration, which is gonna be lit. You need to know that next Monday night, February 6th, we're kicking off a brand new series here at the Living Room that you do not want to miss. We're kicking off a new series called Dating in a Swipe Right Culture. See what I did there? Dating in a Swipe Right Culture. And it is going to be a 5-week series that's going to be amazing. A 5-week series all about dating. These are real issues. Like, we're not just going to talk about, like, you know, how do you go on a date? You ask, no, these are going to be like real things that we're really dealing with. In fact, I think it's going to be a series that applies to every single person, because all of us are either A, in a relationship, B, you're going to one day be in a relationship, or C, you're gonna know someone that's in a relationship and they need your help, okay? So this is a series that applies to all of us, and this is also an incredible opportunity for you to invite your friends. It's an amazing opportunity for you to invite your roommate, for you to invite the person that's on your team, the person that you've been hanging out with that you're like, ah, I wanna invite them, but I don't think they'd really wanna come. I think this is a great opportunity because they can come and they can talk about a topic that I think is relevant to them. Not that every topic's not relevant, but I think dating specifically just draws people. So it's a great opportunity. So hey, we want you guys to invite. We want you guys to make it your goal over the next few weeks to not come alone. In fact, when you walk out the doors tonight, we're gonna give all of you a pack of invite cards that look just like this. On the front, it has the logo for the series, Dating in a Swipe Right Culture. On the back, it has all the information about each week. And so we want you guys to take these cards, to find two or three people this week, and to be intentional and to say, hey, you need to come with me, get on the bus with me, get on the shuttle, I'll drive you. And hey, if you need one more reason to invite, tell them you'll buy them Chick-fil-A for dinner, because we're having Chick-fil-A next week, all right? It's gonna be so good, so good. I talk about the dating series and no one applauds. I talk about Chick-fil-A and we're like, oh, it's awesome. So anyways, but tonight, last week, we kicked off a brand new series called the 2020 Experience. And we define the 2020 experience as this: seeing clearly in order to live purposefully, regret minimally, and grow spiritually. And we think that all of you want this type of experience in your life. Like, all of you want to live your life with a purpose. All of you want to have minimal regrets in life, and most of you want to grow spiritually, or you at least have some level of intrigue or interest in the topic. And we think that this entire experience is connected to seeing clearly, because we all have a lens through which we see the world, and the lens through which we see the world impacts the life that we live, and it impacts the life that we experience. And so last week we talked about the story of the Apostle Paul, if you remember this, and we talked about he got a new lens, and when his lens shifted, everything began to shift. And we landed last week by saying that this experience, the 2020 experience, begins with knowing Christ intimately. The 2020 experience begins by you looking through the lens that Jesus is alive, and if Jesus is alive, then anything is possible. And once you start to look through that lens, this is where the 2020 experience begins. But then where does the road lead from there? And this is the question I kind of want us to tune in tonight. Is where does it go from there? If this is where it begins, then what's next? The question I want us to lean into tonight is, what is the goal of the Christian faith? What's the goal of the Christian faith? How many of you in the room use Google Maps? Anybody a Google Maps user? Okay, most of you in the room. I can honestly tell you that Google Maps has literally changed my life. Like, I am serious about this. One of my biggest questions in life that I don't think will ever adequately be answered is, how in the world did people ever travel over 2 miles without Google Maps? Like, I do not understand it. I'm being serious. Maybe I have issues. I don't know. But I go everywhere with Google Maps. And what I love so much about Google Maps is that you type in where you want to go. You type in the goal of where you want to head to, and then Google Maps gives you step-by-step instructions on how to get there. And what's amazing about this is if you miss a turn or if you make the wrong play and like you go right when it says go left, Siri doesn't get mad at you like she should. Like, she's not like, you're an idiot. What are you doing? She's like, hey, recalculating, drive 250 feet and make a U-turn. And she lines you up with where you're going. It's amazing. I love that you type in the goal, you type in where you want to head, and then you get step-by-step instructions on how to get there. And because I know where we're headed, because when I type in the destination on Google Maps, and because I know the goal, I know where we're going, I'm much more willing to trust the directions. Like, even if Siri somehow takes me away, I've never been, even if I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I driving through a field right now? There's trees everywhere. I don't even care. Like, I'm going to follow because I know that Siri knows the goal. She knows where we're going. And so I don't ask questions. If it doesn't look how I think it should look, I'm like, whatever. I'm just going to stay on track. We're going places here. I'm going to keep going. And here's where I'm getting with this. I think that a lot of us, when it comes to the Christian faith, when it comes to following Jesus, a lot of us don't really know what the goal really is. Or we think we know what the goal really is, but that's not truly the goal. And as a result, what happens is we start to follow Jesus, and at the beginning, we're all pumped up, and we're like, this is great, this is gonna be awesome. And then, you know, a little bit into it, we're like, man, no, I'm not going that way. I'm gonna go my own way. I don't wanna do this. Forget, I'm not in on this. So it's so important tonight that we figure out, what is the goal? What is the goal of the Christian faith? What's the ultimate goal of the Christian faith? And for me, I don't know about for you, but I'm gonna share a little bit of my story. Growing up, and even still a little bit today, at times, I have to remind myself of this, because at times, I think the goal is just to follow the rules. Like, at times, I'm like, man, the goal of the Christian faith is just really to follow the rules, right? To be a good person. This is the goal. Like, do this, don't do that, say this, don't say that. Like, this is what God wants for our life, for us to be good people, where we don't cuss, we don't watch R-rated movies, we don't smoke, we don't drink. Like, this is the goal, right? But the truth is, like, yeah, over time, God does want your behavior to begin to line up with what you claim to believe, but this can't be the goal, because ultimately, God is not after your behavior. He's after your heart. And so this can't be the goal, because then the question comes in, well, how good is good enough? And so this is not the goal. So I was like, okay, if the goal isn't just to follow the rules and be a good person, well, then maybe the goal of the Christian faith is just to get to heaven. This makes sense, doesn't it? Like, the goal of the Christian faith is to get to heaven, to place your faith and trust in Jesus, have your sins forgiven, and to be in heaven one day for eternity with Jesus, connected with God. This is the goal, right? And yeah, this is huge. Like, obviously, Jesus came so that we could place our faith and trust in him and our sins could be forgiven. But if this is ultimately the goal, then what happens is you could place your faith and trust in Jesus, and you could be saved of your sins, and then you could say, hey, God, you know what? I'm 20. I probably got like 50 or 60 more years on this earth, hopefully. So I'll see you then, God. I'll see you in like 60 years. It's going to be awesome in heaven. It's going to be a party. Until then, like, I'll kind of do my own thing here on this earth. I don't really need you, because I've already achieved the goal. Like, I'm going to heaven, so I'll see you later. But Jesus died for so much more than that. Like, he died for way more than you just to get to heaven one day. He wants more than that for your life. So I was like, okay, if the goal isn't to just follow the rules and be a good person, if the goal isn't just to get to heaven, then maybe the goal of the Christian faith is to earn favor and blessing in your life. Hashtag bless, you know? Like, this is probably the goal, isn't it? Just to be blessed by God and have him give you good things. And a lot of times what happens is we turn this in like, hey, if I do this, then God's gonna give me that. Like, if for 6 months straight I go to church, then I'm gonna get the job promotion. And we kind of turn it into a formula. And the truth is, yes, God does wanna bless you for your obedience to him. But oftentimes, the blessings he wants to give to you are not gonna look the way we think they should necessarily look. It's not always gonna look that way. So he wants to bless you, but this ultimately isn't the goal of the Christian faith. So if the goal isn't to follow the rules and to be a good person, if the goal isn't just to get to heaven, and if the goal isn't to just earn favor and blessing in your life, then you should be thinking the same thing I'm thinking right now. What in the world is the goal of the Christian faith? Like, what's the goal? It's super important that we know this, because otherwise we're gonna get frustrated. Otherwise we're gonna ask questions. Otherwise we're gonna just end up going our own way and saying, this isn't worth it. What's the goal? The Apostle Paul, who we talked about a lot last week, he speaks into this. And this is what he says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Check this out. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So the Apostle Paul here writes this verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. This is one of the most commonly quoted verses in all of the Bible. It's also one of the most commonly misinterpreted verses in all of the Bible. Because a lot of times, the way I read this, the way we want to read this, is God's going to work everything together the way I want it to work together. And my purpose, my plan that I have for my life, he's going to make that happen. Like, that's the way we read this. But what Paul is actually saying and what God is trying to get across here to us is that, yes, he does work things together for the good of those who love him, but he works things together for his purpose and for his plan for our lives. That's what this verse is saying. He works things together for his goal for your life. So then he goes on to say this in verse 29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. So Paul says, hey, I don't know if you know this or not. I don't know if you've forgotten this, but God is in control. Like, he's had a plan from the beginning of time. Maybe you needed to hear that tonight. Like, maybe your life is spinning out of control right now and you're like, I don't know what's going on. And you just need to be reminded that, hey, God's in control still. Like, he's still seated on his throne. He has a plan. He's in control. And Paul makes it pretty clear here that the goal of the Christian faith is for you to conform to the image of Jesus. This is the ultimate goal of following Jesus. It's the ultimate goal of the Christian faith, that you would conform to the image of Jesus, that your life would start to look more and more like the life of Jesus. This doesn't mean that you'd be perfect, but this means daily you are taking steps and you are growing in your relationship and you're starting to talk more like Jesus would talk. You're loving other people the way that Jesus loved other people. You're thinking of people in the way that God thought of people, the way that Jesus thinks of people. The goal of the Christian faith is to conform, to look more like the person of Jesus. See, the goal isn't a destination. The goal of faith is relational transformation. This is the goal. It's not so much about a destination, but it's relational transformation, daily relational transformation, becoming more like the person of Jesus. See, because relationships change you. And you know this to be true. Like, all of us have probably experienced this in a negative way, where you've been in a relationship and it's changed you in a negative way. Like, it's caused you to be anxious a lot of the time. It's caused you to have regrets. It's caused you to have low self-esteem. Or maybe on the opposite, you've been in a relationship before that has impacted you in a positive way, where you've been in a relationship that's helped you. It's given you confidence. It's encouraged you. It's helped you to become the person you are today. You know more about your identity. You feel better about yourself. Relationships change you. The Apostle Paul experienced this. Before he met Jesus, he was known for being a murderer. He was known for being a rebel, and he was known for being a terrorist. Then once he met Jesus, once he started his relationship with Jesus, Then eventually, later on in his life, as we talked about last week, he became known for being a preacher, a church planner, and a missionary. Relationships have the power to change you in drastic ways. And the most important relationship in your life is your relationship with Jesus. And the goal he has for you is for you day by day to become more like him. And I think if we're really gonna lean into this, if we're really gonna start to move towards this goal, to becoming more and more like Jesus, to conforming into his image, then I think there's three things that we have to get tonight. There's three things that we really have to pay attention to, especially as we're in the season of our lives where we're college students, we're 18 to 24 years old. I think this is so huge. And the first is this. It's a lifelong process that requires practice. See, it doesn't happen overnight. Our culture, our generation, we get labeled for being the kind of people that we just want everything to be microwavable. Like, we want everything just to happen overnight. Like, you know, if we work a job and if in 2 months we're not the CEO, we're like, forget it, man. They don't treat me right here. I'm out. Like, this is terrible. You know, that's kind of how we view our faith with Jesus. I've been following him for 2 weeks, still having temptations. God, are you real? Like, this is messed up, you know? It's a lifelong process that requires practice. And I want to ask you tonight, if we can just get real for a second here, are you willing to commit to the process? Are you willing to commit to the process? A couple of years ago, about 3 or 4 years ago, I was in Houston, Texas for a wedding. And we were there for a weekend, and it was like Friday afternoon one day, and we had a few hours to spare. And I was like, hey, we're pretty close to the Houston Astros baseball stadium. And I was with a few other people, and I think all of them were girls. And so some of them were like, yeah, this is great. Others were like, I don't really care about baseball. But I was like, hey, let's just go. Let's walk around the stadium, stretch our legs, and maybe we can see the field. Like, maybe somehow we can just knock on the door of the baseball stadium and get in and see the field. I don't know. And so we get there and we start walking around the baseball stadium. We're about halfway around the stadium, which is a pretty far walk. And there's no one there. Like, they're not doing any tours on this day. The Astros were out of town. It was kind of, I think, a little bit chilly that day. There's no one there. And I was like, oh, okay. And the people that I'm with are like, let's just turn around. Let's go back. Forget this. We don't need to do this. I was like, no, let's keep walking a little bit more. So we walk a little bit further for like 5 more minutes. And eventually, as we're about 3/4 of the way around the stadium, finally, we run into a guy. And I didn't even know if he worked for the Astros or not, but I was like, hey, is there any way you can let us into the stadium and we could just see the field just for a second? Could you make that happen? And I think he had just started, and he's kind of thinking through. He's like, this is pretty cool because no one's ever asked me this, and I can kind of show that I have power right now. But I think he's thinking through his mind, like, I don't know if I actually have the power to do this. But he's like, hey, yeah, come on in. So he walks us in, and first he, like, brings us into this little office. I'm like, this is sweet, but we don't really care. Just get us to the field. So he keeps bringing us through. We go through another door and another door. Long story short, we end up walking out onto the field. Like, we're standing at the dugout, and we're walking onto the field looking around. I'm like, this is amazing. And I left that day and I couldn't believe it. I'm calling everyone, I'm sending pictures. I'm like, you'll never believe it. We just somehow found a way to get on the field. It was so awesome. And I thought, what if we would have stopped? Like, what if halfway around the stadium we would have said, this isn't gonna happen. Let's go back, guys, forget it. We would have never seen the field. And the same is true in your life when it comes to following Jesus. If you're not willing to commit to the process, then I think you're gonna miss out on some amazing things that God wants to do in and through you. I think you're gonna miss out on some amazing things that God wants for you to experience in this life. You have to commit to the process. You have to be willing to struggle well. You have to be willing to keep going. You have to be willing to say, hey, temptation's gonna come, but I'm not gonna give up. I'm gonna keep going. Number two is this. It's not just what people see. It's not just what people see. See, we live in an Instagram-driven culture where it's show your best, hide the rest. Everything is driven through a filter. And it's really easy to convince people that your life is perfect. Like, you eat the most perfect plates of food. Your pancakes every morning look amazing. Your coffee cup has some crazy design in it. Like, it's really easy to convince people that you have a million friends. You go on the coolest vacations. Every single day for you is like a day in the life of Beyonce. You love it. And everyone thinks, man, they're perfect. Like, they got it all together. They don't need me, you know? It's easy to convince people of that. And it's easy to not have to be real with anyone, because they think they know you, they follow you on Instagram, so it's all good. Truth is, and you know this, You need people in your life who can see through the Instagram version of you. You need people who are gonna come into your life and who are gonna see through it. You need people who are gonna ask you the difficult questions. Do you have someone in your life to ask you the difficult questions? Do you have someone in your life who's gonna say, hey, how are you? Like, no. Don't say fine, don't say good. How are you doing really? Like, how's that relationship going? How's your walk with Jesus going? How's that struggle been for you? Do you have someone in your life who can ask you the difficult questions? Because this is super important if we're gonna be on the road of moving forward and conforming into the image of Jesus. The third thing is this: pay attention to what you consume. Pay attention to what you consume. What comes into your life, into your mind, will eventually come out of your life. So pay attention to what you consume. Be aware of what you're allowing yourself to see. Be aware of what you're listening to. This is huge. This is huge. The question I want to ask you is, who and what are you allowing to shape you? Who and what are you allowing to shape you? The Apostle Paul understood this, which is why in Scripture, over and over again, he says, hey, renew your minds. Be aware of what you're seeing. Be aware of what you're allowing yourself to listen to. Be aware of the people that you're hanging around, because the truth is, we're all gonna conform to something. We're all gonna conform to something. Over your 4 years of college, your college experience, and even after, you're gonna conform to something. So be aware of what you're looking at. Be aware of what you're listening to. Pay attention to what you consume. Take this seriously. The Apostle Paul, I think he understood all three of these things. He knew that it was a process. He knew it took practice. He knew it wasn't just what people saw. And he had people in his life, I'm sure, that would ask him the difficult questions. He had people that he could be real with. And he knew that he needed to be aware of what he was allowing himself to see and what he was listening to. He knew he needed to pay attention to what he was consuming. And after following Jesus, the Apostle Paul, after following Jesus for over 30 years, this is what he says in Philippians chapter 3. Check this out. This is amazing. He says, not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I love this. The Apostle Paul, after following Jesus for over 30 years, after going through everything that he had went through, he says, hey, I press on towards the goal. I keep my eyes up. I stay focused on what I need to focus on. As we begin to close tonight, I want to share a story with you. And I've been praying all week, man, I've been praying that this story would connect with somebody, maybe all of you. I've been praying specifically that this story for someone, this would be the reason you were here tonight. Maybe you're invited by a friend and you're like, I don't even know what this is. I've been praying that this story for somebody, this would be what you needed to help you this semester. So it was a few years ago and I was in Kenya, Africa on a mission trip with about 18 other college students. And it was the last day that we were there. We had been there for like 8 days. It was a long week. We were all exhausted. And we're at this elementary school with about 400 to 500 little kids. And so everyone's there and it's the final day of the trip. And so we all want to connect. We want to leave on a really, really great note. And I remember walking in and getting off the bus that we were on and seeing all the kids and they're excited that we're there. But again, we're all just tired, and so we're kind of like, man, we've been playing games for the past 7 days. I don't know what to do. And so I was just looking around, trying to figure out some way to connect with the children. And eventually, I noticed that around, kind of the playground area where we were hanging out, that there was this running track marked out. There was this track that you could clearly run on. And so I just said, you know what, I'm going to start running. Kenyans, I've noticed they really like to run. They're very fast. I don't know if you watch this at all, but they win a lot of marathons in our world. They're really fast. And I've been noticing all week that people run a lot. They train a lot. And so I just started running and I ran a couple laps and the other college students that were there with me, they're like, hey Matt, what are you doing, man? What's going on? Or someone chasing you? What are you doing? It's like, no, I'm just running. So we kept running and I ran a couple laps. And no one was really joining in. So I found a couple kids. I'm like, come on, follow me. And they're like blowing by me. I'm like, whoa, chill, bud, chill, chill. And so we keep running. And we ran a few more laps and a few more. And eventually I had about 25 kids, no joke, running behind me. And we're running. And we probably ran about 3 to 4 miles. I think it was honestly a modern day miracle because I'm in not good cardio shape. But we ran and we ran and we ran. And eventually I stopped after, again, like 4 miles, running for like 25 minutes. And I was dead tired. And I looked at the 25 or 30 kids that were running with me. And I was like, hey, I'm done running. And they didn't know what I was saying. So they're like, you know, doing this. And I'm like, no, I'm done. And now they think I'm dancing. They're like, hey, 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 hey. And I was like, listen, I'm done. Like, I think this is a universal sign for I'm done. And so they're like, oh, okay, we get it. So I stand there for a few seconds, and I'll never forget what happened next. There's this little boy in the corner, and he looks at me, and he just says, one more lap, one more lap. And so, of course, I'm like, okay, you're 4 years old and cutest kid I've ever seen in my life. Like, yeah, all right, we'll run one more lap. This is it. So we run one more lap. We finish that lap. I'm like, oh, great job, guys. And another kid goes, hey, one more lap. So we run again, we run one more lap and a finish. I'm like, all right, let's bring it in. And one more lap. And you pick up where I'm going. We finished, and after every lap, someone would chime in, one more lap. Eventually, it got to the point after about the next 15 laps where I was like, one more lap, let's keep going. Somebody carry me, this is crazy. And we ran again for about another 25 more minutes. And I got on the bus that day completely exhausted in the best way possible. And the whole ride home, I was thinking, man, one more lap. I think that's what God is saying to us tonight. One more lap. One more lap. I know you're going through a tough time in life right now. I know college is wearing on you. I know it's second semester for a lot of you, and you're like, man, I don't know if I'm gonna make it. Like, I don't think I can do this. And God's saying, one more lap. Don't quit. Don't give up. I know maybe some of you are like, man, my roommates, there's no hope for them. There's no hope. I want to bring them. I want them to come to know Jesus, but I just don't think it's going to happen. And I think God tonight is saying, hey, one more lap. One more lap. Don't forget where you were. Don't forget that at one point in your life, you were in those shoes. One more lap. Keep going. Don't quit. Jesus is living on this earth, and he lives a perfect life. And then he's murdered on a cross for our sin, and he's put in the tomb. And everyone thought it was over. And then 3 days later, he raises victorious over the grave and over our sin, so that now all of us can say, hey, we're gonna keep running the race you have for us. One more lap. We're not gonna quit. We know at times this world gets tough. This world tries to throw a lot at our way, but we're gonna keep going one more lap because Jesus is worth it. He's worth it, so we're gonna press on towards the prize. We're gonna stay focused in 2017, and we're gonna realize that he has some amazing things in store for us to experience. This is what God wants for your life, the 2020 experience. And he says, but don't quit. One more lap. God, we come to you tonight. We just say thank you. Thank you that you give us reason to keep going. Because God, sometimes in this world, all of us know that, man, it just seems hard. It seems hard to keep going. But God, because the tomb is empty, we can look at that and we can say, hey, we have reason to have hope. And it's not just optimistic thinking, it's realistic thinking. Because the tomb is empty. And our lives have a purpose. And so God, I pray for the person in the room tonight who feels a little bit down, for the person who walked in feeling discouraged. And I pray tonight that you lift them up, that you remind us that, hey, you are with us. You love us. You're for us. You have an amazing plan for our life. And God, I pray that your spirit, Lord, breaks through in this community. I pray that it breaks through on college campuses all across the city of Atlanta like never before. And will you use us to be your messengers? Will you use us to spread the greatest news ever? And God, finally, I pray for the person who is just starting this journey, that you give them the courage tonight to take their next step. You give them the courage to ask the tough question. You give them the courage to have a conversation. You give them the courage to come back again next Monday night. Lord, we love you. It's in your mighty name we pray.